This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The White House tariffs kick in a week from today, thanks to another executive order signed by President Trump. ABC Chief Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl.
With this executive order set to go in effect 7 days from now, there will soon be higher tariffs on virtually all of America's trading partners, the highest in nearly a century. Most economists say that means higher prices for almost all foreign-made goods sold in the United States.
President Trump ordering a 35% tariff on goods from Canada. That goes into effect immediately. Trade negotiations with Mexico will continue for another 90 days. Last weekend, the president said he was giving Russia 10 to 12 days to implement a ceasefire in Ukraine. Overnight, 31 people were killed in the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv in missile and drone attacks, including 5 children. A teacher who police say stabbed a mom and dad to death on a hiking trail in Arkansas will have his initial court hearing today. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
No Wisconsin farms have tested positive in the latest outbreak of avian influenza. According to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, the USDA reports one case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a Pennsylvania poultry flock and 3 cases in livestock in California, all within the last 30 days. No Wisconsin farms have tested positive, and DATCAP offers support to improve and maintain biosecurity at farms and dairy processors. Find out more and see the state's milk testing results online at datcp.wi.gov. It's time to get those cream puffs and see the sights at the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair at State Fair Park in West Allis for the fair's 174th year. Fair officials remind you not to bring large bags to the park and to bring some water with you to keep hydrated. Be sure to check out the dairy building to get your cream puff and tour the exhibits and events. Tonight's main stage show will be Boys to Men. Get tickets and find out more online at wistatefair.com. The Wisconsin State Fair has named the best new dish of 2025. The fair is back with its Sporky Awards for flavorful foods. This year's winner is a French toast dish with UB sweet potato butter and banana. Other nominees included a breakfast bratwurst with blueberry preserves and a pancake bun, brat rangoons, a Korean-inspired gochujang, smash burger, and Mexican street corn pizza. You can also get dessert with the Hunka Hunka Fat Elvis Donut Ice Cream Sandwich or churros with s'mores toppings.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay with another practice in pads before tomorrow night's family night inside Lambeau Field. On defense, it appears that Keyshawn Nixon and newcomer Nate Hobbs are in the lead as the two defensive backs at corner. Baseball, the Brewers against the Nationals tonight in Washington, D.C. Jose Quintana against the Nationals left-hander Mitchell Parker. The Brewers making some moves before the trade deadline, including sending pitcher Nestor Cortez to San Diego for outfielder Brandon Lockride. It looks like Jackson Churio will be out for a while with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, we're hanging in there. That's all there's to it. We've been injured all year long, whether it's, you know, the guys, that the 12 pitchers that weren't available when we started, you know, the Mitchell, the Perkins, the guys we've been without. We're out with Sal for a while. Hopefully we're not without Churio. You know, like all that stuff.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 70s for a high today. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 52. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Great Wisconsin State Fair is underway. Join us for Audio Sorbet, your favorite state fair memories. That's all coming up. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's 7:06. It's a Friday morning. It is the first day of August, 2025. Welcome to the dog days of summer. I'm Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson produces our little festival of radio down at Madison Studio A2, and Brittany Merlot will have our forecast in just a bit. Coming up this hour yet, we'll have our Week in Review panel, Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel. Next hour, we'll be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She will be talking about her decision to run for governor, talk about her background as a nurse and as a healthcare leader before deciding to run for a seat in the legislature. We'll ask her what prompted that. Had something to do with the way the pandemic was being handled by certain politicians, and what she would do if she were to be elected governor of the state of Wisconsin in November of next year. So that is all coming up 1 hour from now. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along next hour as well. Mike Clemens will have sports. We've got the Packer training camp. We've got the Brewers with a big series against the Washington Nationals this weekend in the nation's capital, which reminds me, it's Free Ticket Friday. This is your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to a Brewers game. All you have to do is listen, get our keyword, use that Civic Media app, and text that keyword to us before the end of the show at 9 a.m., You'll be entered in a statewide contest for 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Mets game next Friday evening, August 8th. You have to be able to receive and use electronic tickets on your phone. And again, you need to text us this keyword, FLY. FLY, F-L-Y. Just text that. Don't text anything else. Just text that and you'll get into a drawing for a 4-pack of club-level seats. Remember, you can get the Civic Media app at the Apple or Google stores. Find the station, use the text button, and listen throughout the day. More chances to win. After all, last week's winner, Jim at Brookfield, listened to and got 4 different keywords. And I have no idea which keyword was the one that was pulled that made him a winner. But I'm taking credit for it. Because, you know, who's going to stop me? On the text line, oh, look, it's Jim at Brookfield. Congratulations, Pat, on 3 successful years on Civic Media. You've provided common sense and a voice of reason in this unstable world of media that we have today. Many more years to come. Thank you, Jim. Yes, we started this as Up North News Radio 3 years ago today, August 1st of 2022, as an 8 to 11 in the morning show. Shortly thereafter, we moved to 6 to 8 in the morning, and now recently 6 to 9 a.m., and it's been a heck of a lot of fun for all 614 shows all this time. Only 614. Brittany feels like it's been 1,000 or more, but she keeps coming back for more, and we appreciate every little bit of it. How's Brittany today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, except that, I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. This smoke is a downer. It just is. Yeah. It's a buzzkill. And not just from the, you know, the psychological aspect, you know, it's like a fog that never lifts. But if you have to go outside at all, even if you're young and healthy, you feel it right away in your eyes or someplace. And so it's a reminder that it's more than a nuisance. It's something to take seriously.
It really is. I mean, we've got this wildfire particles that have maxed out. I mean, yesterday morning, early in the morning, Door County areas far northeast in the state, your particles were at about 225. That is very unhealthy levels. We were the worst pollution, you know, air pollution in the world yesterday. That even leaked down towards Milwaukee. Madison felt that as well. Just that nasty, nasty haze blocking the sunshine. It was actually clear skies yesterday, but you could barely see it in a lot of places because it looked like a fog, just a, you know, kind of a thin overcast blocking that sunshine. And a lot of people are kind of getting fed up because it's not the conditions to open up the windows and get some free AC while these temperatures are comfortable, right? This is the time we're usually trying to save some money on that electric bill, and we're not able to because we're keeping the AC on and windows closed to keep that stuff out. Air purifiers are good too, filters too, just different ways to help yourself. But of course, try to stay inside and limit wild activity, right? I'm not going out there and biking and hiking. I am staying put and staying inside because it is affecting me too. I walk outside and I get a massive headache. Unfortunately, we are still in an active air quality alert through at least noon today. Unfortunately, I do think it's going to linger here to some capacity through the entire weekend. Hopefully not unhealthy levels. Hopefully it'll be thinning out as we go through the afternoon and into tomorrow. But the high pressure system that brought it here isn't moving. That's why we're in this dry stretch. So I do think a lot of it is going to kind of stick around. Right now it is worse further north and west in the state. It is starting to ease up to decent moderate levels in towards the lakeshore of Lake Michigan, Milwaukee, and Madison. You're seeing some relief there. So hopefully that'll continue to lift north. But again, keep in mind parts could start to spike as we go into the weekend still. High pressure keeps us nice and dry. Mid to upper 70s today, upper 70s tomorrow, and into the rest of the weekend. We turn a little bit more muggy next week, and the rain holds off until at least Monday night far north and into Tuesday for the rest of us.
It is so pleasant temperature-wise. And just so, and again, it's going to be not rainy, so I dropped the top on the Jeep. This would be the best time of year to have, you know, just an open air ride. And we did go for a drive yesterday, and it wasn't the same because of the haze out there. And of course, driving home, the sunset, I mean, they always say you can only look at the sun through, like, you know, smoked glass or something like that.
Yeah.
The smoke was so thick, it essentially served as that. Now, again, don't stare right at the sun, kids, but I mean, you could never see a sunset that quote unquote clear, but that, you know, brilliantly pink as through the smoke that we've had here. It was Star Wars-esque, essentially. Yeah. It was like being in a science fiction movie. It really has been.
So, and that's the positive. The one positive I can find is beautiful sunrise, sunset pictures, but the rest is.
We do get that, yes. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. It's hazy, smoky sunshine and 49 degrees. I mowed 3 yards in rural Tigerton despite the smoke. It had a September feel outside. Today I got a yard to mow and then run some errands. That smoke does really tire you out. When I got home from work, I sat down on my recliner and fell asleep for 2 hours. I totally get that. We had Rick Springfield last segment in our history lesson. When I hear Rick Springfield, I always crank up the radio. I remember going to Pizza Hut with my family. I always played Rick Springfield on the jukebox. and you know, I like the nostalgia posts that go up about Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut in the 80s was as kitschy as it gets, and we loved it. With the fake old-timey feel, the stained glass, the jukebox, you usually had Ms. Pac-Man as a video game to play. It was a definite slice of time back then.
That sounds awesome.
It was awesome. There you go. Rob says, thank you, Pat, for your service at Civic Media. Hope for many more years of service. Also notes that he's been getting migraine headaches in recent days working outside. And Tony on YouTube says, hey, 1990s too. So Pizza Hut stayed kitschy well into the 90s. Which is, it's true, because I remember they were doing the read a book thing where you'd get the coupons for Pizza Hut if you read so many books. And our daughters would bring those home all the time.
Yeah. So
we're like, oh, look, we're having pizza again. Okay. Now I kind of miss it, you know. Let's see, from Tom in Hartford on the text line, I thought I saw a 39-degree reading up by Land O'Lakes.
I was just going to say, when Rob called out the 49-degree, I was like, oh, I forgot to say, 39 degrees in Kings right now.
Wow. What?
Yep. I was warning for the cranberry marshes about frost because, you know, the marshes are cooler, they're lower. Yeah. They're likely getting some frost this morning.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I know.
Brittany, we appreciate the update. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Stay away from those headaches. There are a lot of fairs and festivals going on this weekend. There is, of course, the Wisconsin State Fair, which got started yesterday in West Allis. There is the Head of the Lakes Fair in Superior, the Jackson County Fair in Black River Falls. Now, that's the one Selena Heller will certainly be at. That's her hometown county fair, where she talks about the Combine Demolition Derby. Yes, where people take combines off of farms, not new ones, and smash them into each other. It's big fun to watch. I saw the video of it. Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau runs through tomorrow. The rest of these run through Sunday. The Iron County Fair up in Saxon, the Ozaukee County Fair in Cedarburg, Buffalo Pepin County Fair in Mondovi, the Green Lake County Fair in Green Lake, and the Winnebago County Fair in Oshkosh. There's no shortage either of some of the more, shall we say, community festivals that are going on out there. And you can head over to travelwisconsin.com, and you can just simply put in a date range, and up will come things like, well, today is the Bonduelle Lions Club Corn Roast. Tonight is the Downtown Beloit Street Dance. There's Blues on the Chippewa. That's underway in Durand. Jack Pine Savage Days in Spooner. There's a Saluting Our Heroes Balloon Rally in Rhinelander this weekend. Brat Days in Sheboygan. There's Goat Fest in Jefferson. That one intrigues me. Tomorrow, National Mustard Day is celebrated in Middleton, home of the Mustard Museum that's out there. And, I mean, just so much. Oh, here's one. Wisconsin IPA Fest in Milwaukee, it says here, is tomorrow. Parker, you know the best way to handle an IPA when it's been served to you, right?
Drink it quickly.
No, you pour it right down into the drain. That's exactly how you handle an IPA. I know.
Yeah.
Sacrilege. I get people mad every time when that comes up.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the IPA.
They're all more hoppy than a zoo full of kangaroos. They're just...
Yeah.
You have to really like what you like for that.
Yeah.
But it depends on your palate. Look, I think scotch tastes like gasoline. I've sipped what people say is the finest scotch out there, and I'm pretty sure I would get more miles per gallon in the Jeep. But, you know, bourbon, which is not that much different, you can taste that. So beer drinkers as well, people like what they like.
Yeah,
and
I like beer.
If you like an IPA, well, there you go. There's the festival for you coming up. The Brewers were off yesterday. They are headed toward Washington, D.C. They're there now for a series against the Washington Nationals, and they are still on top of the National League Central Division by a game over the Cubs. Are you working Madison Mallard games this weekend?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, go look at them there.
Yes, sir. All right. Better not be smoky tonight.
No, I got bad news for you. Sorry about that. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea, has an article about Congressman Brian Stile holding an in-person town hall. So you got to give him a little credit for that. But he was met with consistent booing last night as scores of attendees jeered the Janesville Republican over his support for President Donald Trump's policies. Stile, it says in the newspaper article here, struggled to get through answers from a crowd of more than 250 people gathered in the Elkhorn Area High School auditorium. Many interjected with yells of disagreement over everything from border security to tariffs to Trump's recently signed mega bill. It was the first in-person town hall for any Wisconsin Republican since House Republican leadership in March advised members to avoid in-person events. It was Stile's first in-person session since January. Stile, in the article it says here from Lawrence Andrea, backed Trump's efforts on immigration. He defended the administration's dismantling of the Department of Education, and he stood by Trump's use of tariffs. He mentioned the national debt as a challenge facing the country, and one attendee yelled, "Thanks to you." And that, to me, I mean, it negates any goodwill that Congressman Stile did by having an in-person town hall. I mean, you know, there's expressions I could use, but I can't use on the radio. But don't tell somebody that the national debt is a problem when you just voted to make it $4 trillion worse. A local update is next for some of you and our Week in Review panel coming up here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday! On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
So glad and so grateful that Grassroots Entertainment continues sending us top talent coming through the Richland Center area. Knoxville native Sarah Harrelson is in the studio with us again. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Phil.
Wonderful to have you back. You were here about a year ago, and things are really starting to take off. I'm guessing you've had a good summer.
Yeah, it's been great. I was here in October, and now I'm back. I brought you some ski soda here today from Chattanooga.
Thank you so much. That's just so awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it. And it's cold, too.
It's nice and cold.
Ooh. Well, we'll see you guys later. So they make that. Were you aware of ski before you talked to me last fall?
I wasn't. No, I know you're more of a soda connoisseur, but I think I told you I heard of Bubba Cola, which was made near Chattanooga because my granddad would do trips all the time to go get his Bubba Cola.
I've never had Bubba Cola, but I'll have, next time you'll have to
next
bring it.
Next time some, we're on Bubba Cola.
Cola, all right. So tell us about some things that are going on for you. You're a part of an upcoming production, Women Songwriters. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's been so exciting. I've been a part of an upcoming documentary called Women Behind the Lyrics, and my new single, Put Yourself in My Boots, is a part of that project, and it's myself, Wendy Moten, Delaney Ann, and Judy Pastor, and the documentary takes a look of what it's like being a woman in the music industry, a woman on the road doing the whole music tour life, and this October we're doing a whole tour together.
How far are you going? What cities are you heading to?
We're starting in Asheville and then ending up in Houston.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited. Like
girls' night out every night then.
Yes.
Why don't we give that new song a spin? Can you tell us any more about Put Yourself in My Boots?
Yeah, that's a song I wrote a few years ago, and it's very personal to me. If you take a listen, it's just a reminder that everyone comes from different backgrounds, so we shouldn't judge each other and just be more aware of where everyone comes from so we can relate to each other better.
Well said. All right, we'll give it a spin here on The Morning Show. Sarah Harrelson.
The same roots. You're kind of a problem, ain't the kind I've been through. I took all day for a little more change. Does a little more change mean much to you? Put yourself in my boots. Haven't always had it as easy as you. I walk in different dirt. I ain't saying your pain don't hurt, but you might get me if you put yourself.
Sit on The Morning Show with us today on WRCO, Put Yourself in My Boots. You've had some top-notch people help you out through your career. Who helped you out with that particular single, Sarah?
Absolutely. I got to co-produce that song with producer Dale Penner, and he has worked with iconic bands like Nickelback and Loverboy, and it was so much fun working with him on the studio for that song. And my husband was even the drummer on that song, so it was fun working in the studio with him as well.
A family affair there. You got it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. How do you write songs? Like, where does the inspiration come from?
Well, especially with country music, most of that is drawn through my real life experiences, things I've been through and things that I just want to get out into the world. And I think that people can relate to a lot of those messages. So they definitely come through authentic experiences.
Tell us about, you're going to be up for a CMA award too as well later this year, aren't you?
Yes. So when I'm on the Women Behind the Lyrics tour this October, we end in Houston and all of us are receiving a CMA of Texas award at the CMA of Texas for Artist of the Year. So I'm very excited for that.
Is that your biggest award you've won?
It will be my biggest. Yeah, I've received some awards through Musicians on Call, which has been amazing through the work I've done with them, but this will be a very exciting moment.
As I told you, we have our cancer charity, Grace, from the area we're raising money for this year and this week. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing that between 10 and noon today. But you have a cancer story in your family, don't you?
I do, yes. My mother fought colon cancer for 5 years, and it's something that I've always wanted to spread awareness about is her cancer journey and just support other people going through the same cancer battle. And I volunteer with Musicians Physicians on Call, where I bring music into hospitals for patients who are going through, you know, minor surgeries to major things like cancer.
Isn't it amazing what music can do?
Absolutely. I think music is so healing, and that's been one of my missions as an artist, just to bring healing power of music to people so they can find relatable stories through music.
You've been listening to WRCE's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Flavor is on the menu at Wisconsin Pork Association's Pork Shop at the Wisconsin State Fair. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday. Morgan Warwick is the Program and Marketing Director at the Wisconsin Pork Association. Where can you find the Pork Shop? It's across from the Coliseum and the Wisconsin Products Pavilion. The food stand is serving up butterfly pork chop sandwiches, pork burgers, and America's cut pork chop on a stick. The pork is raised local to the Midwest. Much of it coming from Wisconsin.
A lot of it's coming from the Midwest. So a lot of, you know, some of it's Wisconsin and some of it's from surrounding states as well. And our goal is, you know, hopefully we can eventually do all of that. But we also do have a Wisconsin-raised program that we're promoting here. And so our customers will see QR codes posted around our pork shop and the seating area that will take them to a list of producers and processors that raise Wisconsin pigs and process them here in our state as well.
While you're at the Wisconsin State Fair now through August 10th, you're going to want to make Wisconsin Pork Association's Pork Shop a part of your food stop. Morgan Warwick joining us from the Wisconsin Pork Association. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation,
innovation.
That's BioVet.
Wisconsin is ramping up efforts to get more of our farm products onto plates around the world. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has announced the third round of export expansion grants. This supports seven projects aimed at growing dairy, meat, and crop exports. The grants are part of the Wisconsin Initiative for Agricultural Exports. This is a program launched to boost the state's export numbers by 25%. It's making progress. Wisconsin now ranks 12th in the nation for ag exports. That's up from 13th just a few years ago. With this latest round, we'll be gaining ground toward the top 10. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 70s for a high today. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
where working people come to talk. It's The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Forever Young Designs artist Spencer Young. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr brings new music from the best Wisconsin bands.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Free Ticket Friday, you can win Brewers tickets. So we're having a statewide drawing after several keywords on several shows throughout the day here. This particular show's keyword is fly, as in, you know, a fly ball out to center field, F-L-Y. Text that using the Civic Media app, and you could be in the running for 4 Brewers tickets to next Friday night's game, Brewers versus the Mets. You have to be able to receive electronic tickets on your phone and use them. If so, use that Civic Media app and text us the word fly. Continuing with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, all here as part of our Week in Review. There are stories that I just know would be different if there was an R next to it or a D next to it instead of an R. One of the most egregious ones, Jim, Justice Department dismisses case against a Trump donor. In early April, Donald Trump's White House, according to MSNBC, fired a career federal prosecutor in California because a right-wing influencer told the president that he should. Nearly 4 months later, Trump's Justice Department has dropped a case against the restaurant group Fat Brands and its chairman Andy Wiederhorn, which was the case the prosecutor was working on at the time of his ouster. He happens to be a five-figure donor to the Trump campaign. I don't know, coincidence or not, it is tough to give this Justice Department the benefit of the doubt in making decisions on Trump donors, Jim.
And because they act this way, we shouldn't give them any benefit of the doubt here at all. This is yet another illustration, both the termination of a civil servant, let's not forget that, who's doing his job in prosecuting cases, and also the erasure, this complete busting down of any wall that previously existed, even to some extent in Trump one term, between the White House and the Department of Justice. You do not want a president, for precisely these reasons, picking up the phone and calling people at Maine Justice and saying, I want this person prosecuted. I want this case suspended. I want this to stop. This is another example of that. And it not only undermines the basic focus of the Department of Justice, it produces situations where justice is not being accomplished criminally, civilly, when it comes to the ways in which we enforce our laws. If a president of the United States of America can now, as he is doing, use the Department of Justice to reward his friends, punish his enemies, that's not a Department of Justice, the only agency that has its name and aspiration. That is something else not working for us. It's another example of the diminution of that relationship between the White House and the appropriate relationship with people and the Department of Justice, and more of that to come, certainly in the next 3.5 years.
So moving that from the Department of Justice, Mark, to the newsrooms, Andy Wiederhorn is this guy's name. You can look up his public support. We've seen the pardons that Trump has given to people who have been supporters or donors. I feel like the American public should know the name of Andy Wiederhorn as well as they know Hunter Biden's name, because this and all these are such naked corruption. And yet, again, I feel like the news stories they would do if there were a Democrat in the White House are not. There seems to be a reason why I'm only seeing this on MSNBC's website.
Well, to me, the most alarming thing is that this has become normalized in the news media. You know, it's like, well, all right, so Trump rewarded one of his friends with a pardon, or ordered the dropping of an investigation or of charges. I mean, the Eric Adams thing in New York City is like a gigantic scandal. If that had happened in Democratic administration, you know, if you had killed an investigation or kill after an indictment, if you had decided to drop the case because just to help for someone to help you on some sort of policy matter, that would have been an enormous scandal. And so I think that the corruption, Trump's corruption, is so obvious to the news media that they've decided it's normal. And that, and the lack of this kind of maintained outrage about things like that is one of the things that's really kind of causing us to slide into fascism. It's just, when you start tolerating those things, people get away with it more and more, and the public just kind of, you know, turns off.
Jennifer, the way that we've normalized it, it also deals with framing things under Trump's actions. All right, here's the Associated Press headline. President Trump calls GOP Senator Josh Hawley second tier after a bill to ban stock trades in government advances. So the story is about, you know, Trump criticizing a Republican senator rather than Trump is standing in the way of a popular bill to stop members of Congress from gambling on Wall Street. But we frame it as Trump going on the on offense against a fellow Republican. That's not the greater issue here.
Well, the media generally has made a mistake covering every aspect of Trump from the start, right? So that's no surprise. I do think a big part of the problem is that there is a media outrage machine only on one side of the aisle, and it is huge. And I would argue it sets the agenda for what the news media covers and how outraged people are, how continuous the coverage is, you know. And when stories live and die in the regular media, it's because mostly, I think, of how right-wing media covers it. If right-wing media wants to get crazy, for example, about the Sydney Sweeney ad and make up a story about that so that they don't have to talk about Epstein, that will work its way into regular media. They set the agenda, and it's really unfortunate because what they want to talk about and what they don't want to talk about is mostly what's breaking through to America, I think.
You reposted something from The Atlantic, and the headline there was Republicans want to redraw America's political map. And we spoke in our last hour with Matt Henney from Courier Texas about the legislature, you know, once again gerrymandering the Texas map. And you posted it with this alternative headline: Republicans want to seize power and never give it up. That seems to me a bit more honest than Republicans want to redraw America's political map. Redrawing a map does not sound nearly as nefarious as this actually would be.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is that gerrymandering, I know you guys know it well in Wisconsin, and it's talked about a lot there, but it's not really a hot topic in a lot of the country. And I get to guess most people don't know what it means, and they surely don't know the impacts of it. So that's a story. That's a five-alarm fire, what's happening in Texas with the map and the impact on the whole country. And I think there's a lot more work to be done on that to make sure that people are aware of what it means and how it could impact so many things. And so, yeah, when I saw that Atlantic headline, the story itself explains what's going on in Texas, but it's bigger than that. And so it's kind of like, you know, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, this is could be a national problem, like what just happened in El Salvador. They just voted to basically make a president for life. Well, I kind of feel like we are heading in that direction.
It definitely has that feel to it, especially when you see how this wasn't even on Texas legislators' radar initially, and certainly not to this level till Trump said, do this. And they immediately fell into line. Jim, we talked in the last hour about this. I mean, Democratic lawmakers, you know, could walk out. They could, you know, flee the state again, but it only delays the inevitable. Where are we from the standpoint of challenging such obvious political corruption in our maps? Are they feeling that good about where the court system is these days that they can draw a map this bad?
They shouldn't be, because you do have both state courts and federal courts who are looking at these kinds of things and addressing whether or not there is, again, inappropriate racial gerrymandering. We know political gerrymandering is no longer on the agenda of the federal courts. That's as a result of the Supreme Court a number of years ago. But courts are still looking at these things. Interestingly, you may recall just in this past term, the Supreme Court, in a case coming out of Louisiana, decided not to decide and bumped that one into the coming term. That's a very interesting case to take a look at come the fall and into next year to determine whether or not the basis, the purpose for redrawing Louisiana lines was racially motivated. It has to do with the number of Black predominant majority districts in that state. The courts are still wrestling with this. The other thing I would offer is, you know, as we've talked before so many times, state legislatures, the federal legislature can, if it wants, and yes, I know we've got to have the numbers to do it, do oversight of these things. Let's have some inquiries on Capitol Hill and here in the state of Wisconsin, in Madison, addressing these issues. What is going on? It should be geared ultimately towards some legislative purpose, but it can simply be informative and describing for the legislators what is happening among their constituents. Those kinds of things should be moving ahead. Obviously, in the present Congress, we don't have that because the majority, maybe when the 120th Congress is sworn in early January of 2027, there will be a movement to get more oversight on all of this.
Perhaps. A lot of this serves as a distraction from the economic turmoil out there. And I say that because the new jobless figures just came out for the month of July, and anemic doesn't begin to describe it. Non-farm payroll for July up only 73,000 jobs. That is, again, like we were saying yesterday with Sean O'Malley, it's not a recession. But don't give Donald Trump credit for us not being in a recession and for only taking us to the precipice of one. Mark, you reposted an article about how a newly declassified part of the so-called Durham report shows that Republicans used a Russian manufactured email as evidence, quote unquote, that Hillary Clinton conspired with Russia. I mean, again, this should be a blockbuster headline that Republicans either enabled themselves to be duped or willingly used false information. I haven't read this enough to know which one it is, but neither one is a good look.
No. And isn't it interesting that we're just finding out about this now?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Durham report, you know, was years ago. And it's all part of the attempt by the right wing to pretend that the Russian involvement never happened. You know, I mean, their ability or their attempt, at least, to erase history, you know, to just completely rewrite the facts, is amazing. It's very Soviet. I mean, it's very much, you know, kind of it's Orwellian, really. You know, to let's pretend something didn't happen, because, you know, that meeting at Trump Tower with the Russians did happen. We know it happened. A lot of Russian officials were indicted by Mueller after his investigation. I mean, we know there was involvement there, and for this Trump to say Russia, 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 and that's just code for the right wing thinking that the whole thing was made up, when we know it wasn't made up. It wasn't. And for them to try to erase history is really scary, because if they can do that, they can erase everything. I mean, the as a journalist, the assault on facts is the scariest thing to me. The fact that because if you don't have a shared set of facts in a society, you can't have a functioning democracy. You just can't. And their assault on things that are demonstrably true is frightening.
It comes back to, again, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and maybe he was or wasn't the first one to say, you are entitled to your opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts. And that is not the world we live in anymore. I mean, facts are still facts, but there are some people that feel like they have their own facts. And if they just say them enough, enough people will believe them to keep them in power. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For the rest, whether you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube or the Civic Media app, we're going to continue yapping here for a few minutes more with a Week in Review panel. And then we'll all be back together here at 8:05. And at that point, we are going to be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about her run for governor. It's been 8 days now since Governor Tony Evers announced he would not be running for a third term. Sarah Rodriguez is the first Democrat to announce, and we're going to learn all about that coming up right after the 8:00 news here on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
So glad and so grateful that Grassroots Entertainment continues sending us top talent coming through the Richland Center area. Knoxville native Sarah Harrelson is in the studio with us again. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Phil.
Do you have any personal stories, some things you've seen firsthand when you've played a song at someone's bedside?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of different reactions every time I play music for someone. It usually brings them joy or healing or tears. But I've seen one patient that I'll never forget, and he was telling me that he was feeling very down about life that day, not wanting to go on with life. And when I came into the room and played a song for him, he felt more hopeful to keep going. So that's something that was very heartfelt to me and makes me realize this is why I do music.
That's the thing that we've talked about with music too. It's and just having a positive attitude if you have any kind of illness. It's so important, isn't it?
It is.
And you have a song. Did you have a song related to your mom's cancer journey and what you've done with the volunteering?
I do. A few years ago, I released a song called Blue Ribbon about my mom's journey. And I partnered with the Colorectal Cancer Alliance with the song to give back to them and spotlight some people who were going through colon cancer in the music video.
Would you sing it for us?
I would love to, yeah.
Okay. Sarah Harrelson live in the morning show.
I never
never thought she'd get it. Not twice and not once. A cancer whose awareness falls on my birthday month. She stood tall and strong when more started to go wrong. It makes me so proud from where she started to right now. It represents her pain. It represents her strength. It represents the ones who fight the hard fight every day. I wear it for my mother. She wears it for all others. I never knew how little time we're given till she wore that blue ribbon. Love, hope, and a cure is what it was made for. It's a sign of being honest. It's a symbol of support. I wish no one had to wear it. I wish it didn't exist. And she's one more example of what we had to fix. It represents her pain. It represents her strength. It represents the ones who fight the hard fight every day. I wear it for my mother. She wears it for all others. I never knew how little time we'd given till she wore.
For performing that.
Of course, thank you.
Goes along with our whole theme this week. Is it hard to sing that song and not get emotional?
It's very emotional singing it still, but it also feels very healing for me to sing it and just a reminder of my mom and just knowing that I'm giving maybe some hope and strength for other people performing it.
Do you perform it often?
Not too often. Sometimes I'll incorporate into shows or play it in the hospitals, but the best part about that song is receiving messages for people going through the same thing that she has gone through, telling me how much it has helped them with their journey.
Great. Some other things you're involved in. Do you sing in a foreign language? Did I read that?
I released a song called Stand Together last July, and it has 10 artists from 10 different countries, and the artists I got to collaborate with were from all different parts of the world, and so they incorporate their languages into it, and I performed that song before, and when I performed it by myself, I learned some of their parts and languages, so I don't really speak those languages, but I learned the lines for my own song.
Oh, that's gonna be hard to do, right?
It is, yes.
to make sure you're enunciating, so you're saying the right thing, and, you know.
Yes. Yeah, my friend who speaks Spanish made sure I pronounced it right. Todos unidos.
Oh, that's awesome. But it could open up a whole new market. You know, it's interesting how country music is so worldwide anymore, isn't it?
It is, and I got a chance to perform in Eastern Europe a couple years ago in Bulgaria with some other artists over there, and it's just amazing how many people came out and love country music. One woman couldn't even speak English, but she came out to my show with an Alan Jackson t-shirt and a cowboy hat, and she was ready to go, so it was amazing to see.
Have you met any of your biggest idols since you've been in the business?
Yeah, I've got to perform alongside a lot of people. I've opened up for the likes of Aaron Tippin and Bucky Covington and met a lot of people doing events in Nashville. So it's been great collaborating and just meeting other people that I really look up to.
You've performed at some of Nashville's landmarks too, haven't you?
I have. I just performed again at the Bluebird Cafe, and it's always so special performing there. So many people.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump announcing that the U.S. will raise tariffs on all goods imported from nearly 70 countries beginning in a week. However, there are questions about the legality of the trade policies in the first place. ABC's Jonathan Carl.
Trump's so-called reciprocal tariffs are facing serious legal challenge. On Thursday, federal appeals court judges grilled administration lawyers, appearing to doubt that the president has the authority to impose these tariffs without congressional approval. The administration has already lost in the lower courts on this. This is almost certain to go to the Supreme Court.
Posting on social media today, the president is also calling for the Federal Bank's Board of Governors to usurp the power of Fed Chair Jerome Powell in lowering interest rates. He also calls Powell a, quote, moron. Jobs numbers from the Labor Department out this morning. School teacher suspected of stabbing a mother and father to death on a hiking trail in Arkansas will be in court today. Police say he acted alone. This is